Hello, my name is Dan Moore, and I'm going to be talking today about neural development. I'm going to explain what is neural development and some of the uses for neural development. First of all, let's talk about what is neural development. Whenever you do something repeatedly and you get better at it and better at it, that is neural development. Neural development is a normal phenomenon. We do it all the time, and we do it a lot of times without realizing it. For instance, when we first learn to ride a bicycle, our cerebellum, or the part of our brain that has to do with balance, was underdeveloped. So we had training wheels, or we used tricycles until we were able to ride a bicycle and keep our balance without the need for the training wheels. So the training wheels were taken off and our balance was fine and we could ride a bicycle. But what we didn't know was that every time we got on that bicycle with training wheels, we were actually doing neural development. When a child plays with a basketball over and over again, gets better and better, that child is doing neural development. When someone is learning to play the piano and is practicing over and over again, and they may be working on a specific song, or they'll practice and practice, and then pretty soon they'll get to the point where they can play that song without even really thinking about it. And when they get to the point where they can play the song without thinking about it, they have caused neural development to happen in their brain. Now, scientists have been able to see this happening through various imaging devices that piano players, when they've worked on a piece and can play it by memory, have actually changed the structure of their brain. Their brain is different than what it was when they were first sight reading that piano song. So this has great implications for everything that we do that's related to brain functioning, for pathways that are underdeveloped. You can use neural development to develop the brain. So, how might you want to apply neural development? Well, one of the greatest areas that I like to apply neural development is in learning disorders. Now, there's researchers that have demonstrated, although it's not very popular, not very many people know about the research, but they have shown that they could even raise IQ 24 points. There's people that do that every day. You can go to pacetutoring.com or rxlearning.com and read about their studies. And they currently take a child and work with that child, and in 3 months are able to raise their IQ 21 to 24 points. This is all done with neural development. Now, this is astounding if you think about it. You say you have a child that's mentally retarded, their IQ is 69, and then you add 24 points to that, you are getting that child within in the average range of intelligence. I think for all children that are mentally deficient, we should be doing neural development with them every day. In some ways we are doing that, the brain's developing, but we're not really doing it enough to give them a better lifestyle. Any gains in IQ that you give a child, you improve their quality of life for the rest of life. And the neat thing about neurodevelopment is once you have the brain hardwired, if you will, through neurodevelopment, it'll be that way for the rest of their life. Well, unless a stroke happens or some sort of toxins take over, but normally they will have it for the rest of their life. The other areas to use neural development is in learning disorders. Children that can't read or can't do math, you can use neural development so that they can overcome those difficulties. And once they overcome it, they have it for life. DORE, D-O-R-E, is a great example of a company that has shown, even in the literature, in peer-reviewed journals, that they've taken children who previously cannot read, and in 2 years of time, they're reading at a normal level, and they do it by neural development. They work on their balance to get the pathways from the cerebellum to the left side of the brain developed, and you would think that it would be more popular than what it is. I don't know about the politics of why it's not more popular, but I think it should be used a whole lot more often. Fortunately, some of the schools are using neurodevelopmental exercises and programs to help children with dyslexia. Fast Forward is a good example that many schools are using. It's computer-based, and the child can learn fairly rapidly compared to old techniques. When you're looking at neural development, you have to ask, well, what was the old techniques? What are the traditional techniques, or what are being used now? With kids who do not read well, they use tutoring and instruction. They try to reteach what they've already taught. Now, the children didn't learn it the first time. Chances are that many of them are not going to learn it the second time. So they, as you reteach and reteach and reteach, as you reteach and reteach and reteach, what you find is that they remain deficient, and they get further and further behind the other children each year. So they may make a little progress with reteaching, but not enough to get caught up. When working with children that have reading problems, the goal is to get them over their reading problems between 3 months to 2 years of time through neural development. Another great source of neural development is with autism. I feel that autism is created due to mercury toxicity. There may be other heavy metals that are causing the problem, but basically what's happening is the brain is not being allowed to develop normally, and it sort of develops like Swiss cheese. So there's parts of the brain that's developed just fine. There may be parts of the brain that are overdeveloped, and that gives them a gift in some area, but there are definitely areas of the brain that are underdeveloped. And with autism and Asperger's and pervasive developmental disorders, the part of the brain that has to do with social skills is underdeveloped. And fortunately, there is a psychologist, Dr. Gustine is one out of Texas, that has developed a neural developmental program for social skills. So, within a year or two, if you take a child with Asperger's, you can get them to have normal social skills through neural development. There are other areas to apply neural development as well. Brain injury, stroke. Now, some people think, well, if you're an old person and you have a stroke, then it's too late to do neural development because the brain's not really developing. Well, the truth is, you can still do neural development. You can still get great gains, significant gains, by doing neural development in the elderly. The problem is it just takes a lot longer with the elderly than it does with a child that's pretty young. And a lot of that has to do with how fast the brain is able to grow dendrites. In children, it grows rather quickly. With the elderly, it still happens, and but it happens at a slower pace. So you just have to have more patience in doing neural development with somebody that suffered from a stroke. Brain injury is a great, closed head injuries. Those are all great applications for neural development. And really, people don't do it. They, you know, they send somebody has a problem, they do physical rehab, and they rehabilitate the muscles and even do some neural development rehabilitation with the muscles, and it's connected to the nervous system. But they really don't do it as much as they should for cognitive problems. And that's what really needs to happen in closed head injuries, automobile accidents, any type of thing that has to do with the nervous system. Now, there's another area that is way underdeveloped, and that is using neural development for juvenile delinquents. Juvenile delinquents usually have a problem with underdeveloped pathways of cause-effect relationships. They just have a hard time figuring out that what they do has an effect on them, or result in consequences. And a lot of these children or adults do not have good verbal skills. They don't have good verbal reasoning skills. And it's all because that part of the brain is underdeveloped. So we can use neural development to develop that part of the brain, give them reasoning skills and verbal reasoning skills, and hopefully keep them out of the juvenile justice system and keep them out of the adult justice system. So I think that instead of keeping prisoners locked up, we should do more neural development. So those are some of the applications of neural development. And when we get to thinking about it, anything that we want to improve on that's related to cognitive skills, we can use neural development. Who can benefit from neural development? Well, everybody. I have never found anybody with a perfect brain that had all the cognitive abilities within the gifted range. Thus, we can all benefit from cognitive development. I think sometimes we accept things too often. If somebody is dyslexic, we say, well, let's make accommodations for them. Let's not worry about if they ever learn to read or not, and they'll just have to put up with that. Well, no, we shouldn't put up with that. We should make accommodations at first, and while we do neural development, and then once they've developed the skills, then we'll take away the accommodations so that they can compete in the world with everybody else. So instead of accepting people's limitations or our own limitations, we could work towards overcoming those limitations and just improve ourselves. Now, do we need to improve everything? No, we don't need to improve everything, just because fortunately in the world, you don't have to be good at everything. You can be good at the things you want to be good at. But if there's something that you want to be good at that you're not good at because of you don't have the abilities, then you can use some neural development to get good or improve at those cognitive abilities that are lacking. Okay, now I'd like to talk about things that you do when you are using neural development, and what are some things, some factors, some concepts that make neural development better or faster. Okay, well, neural development is simply taking a skill that you don't have, it might be memory, for example, and breaking it down so that you're given these exercises that will someday lead to better memory. Now, memory is quite complex, and there's different types of memories, but let's talk about, say, sequential memory. Okay, sequential memory is the ability to remember steps or procedures, and it's probably the number one reason why somebody who knows their math tables, they can give math facts just fine, but can never learn algebra, and so they sort of hit a glass ceiling in math, because they can't remember the steps involved in, say, long division or algebra. So we work on sequential memory. And the way we work on it is we break it down into something that the child already can do that we can build upon. So in sequential memory, for example, and this I'm just using this as an example because it's the way you do all neurodevelopmental tasks, is you find out what you want, what's the end product, and then you break down that ability to simple things, and you find a level that the child could already do that's related to that, and then you just build upon it. For instance, sequential memory. One exercise for sequential memory is working with beads. You start off with, or blocks, or just something that are different colors. I like using 6 different colors, and you can, I use those beads at Walmart just because they're inexpensive, and they're, you can get a lot of them for under $2, and you take a handful of them and you give them to the participant, and then you take a handful of them and you start off with 3, put 3 down in a line and or in a row, and cover it up, well, expose it to the child so the child or the participant can see those 3 beads, and then you cover it up, and then they, from memory, have to put the beads down. They have to get the correct position and the correct color in the correct position. Then you expose the 3 beads that you covered up, and they are to correct their errors if they made any errors. Then they are to put those 3 beads that they've put on the table into the pile of handful of beads that they have. Then you add 2 more beads to the 3 beads that you have, and you ask them, we had 3 beads before, I had 2 more, how many beads do we have now? And they'll say 5. Okay, so then we expose those 5 beads for 5 seconds. We give it 1 exposure per bead. So they cover, we cover up those 5 beads after 5 seconds, and notice that they have to, when they reconstruct what they've seen, they start off with the original order, the 3 beads, and then we're adding 2 more. So they have to remember what came before, and they're putting down 5 beads. Then we expose it after they're finished, and they make their corrections, and then we cover ours back up. They put their 5 beads back in their pile, and we add 2 more and ask, if I had, we had 5 before, we had 2 more, how many beads do we have now? The answer is going to be 7. So we put 2 more onto our pile that we don't touch, so it's always there. And then we expose it now for 7 seconds and cover it up, and then they take from their pile 7 beads and put it in the exact order that was on it. So they had to remember the original 3, then the 2 more, and then the 2 more. And we keep doing that until we can get sequences of 21 beads memorized. Now when you have 21 beads that a child can do pretty efficiently, memorize the order of 21 beads, they have developed sequential memory. You should be able to see that this child now can do any kind of algebra problem, any kind of long division, because they're going to remember those sequences for that. And when we have that, we've applied neural development to a specific problem related to math. So that's an example of how to do neural development. Again, you can do it for any type of problem. So the trick is learning what parts of the brain is related to a specific skill. Like, for instance, Dorr found out that in working with dyslexics, a lot of them have a balance problem. When they try to decode a word, they lose their balance. So you put a child on one foot and have them read, and when they come to a word that they don't know, that they have to figure it out, you will see that their foot comes down. That's because they're losing their balance as they're trying to decode that word. Okay, so they've are pretty smart and figure out, well, if we correct that balance problem when they're decoding words, we can solve a lot of their dyslexia. And that's what they've done. So not too many people will say, well, why are we working with balance in order to read? But the answer is there's a pathway that goes from the left side of the brain to the cerebellum and then back up to the left side of the brain that's underdeveloped. We develop that pathway through balance exercises. We've improved their reading ability. So that's kind of a tricky one, but certainly one that's easy to do. It's easy to identify, and we can measure our success. And if we hit the nail on the head, then we can measure the success of whatever we're trying to accomplish, whether it's sequential memory or whether it is being able to read. All right, some other factors that are important in neurodevelopment is, of course, the most obvious is repeated exposure. Anytime you want to develop anything about the human body, you need repeated exposure. If I'm a weightlifter and I want to increase muscle mass, I have to get in the gym and just about every day or at least 3 times a week start pumping weights. Okay. Now if I go once a week or skip a week and then go the other week, then I'm not going to develop good muscle mass. But if I do it every day, I will develop good muscle mass. And I can skip a day or so every now and then and it won't harm me any. But if I miss too many days, I won't get the desired effects. Same with neural development. Now the neat thing about the difference between neural development and muscle development is with muscles, if you don't use them, you lose them. But with the brain, the process of not using losing it is much slower. So once it's hardwired, pretty much it's hardwired for life. For instance, you might not have ridden a bicycle for the longest time, but you can still get on a bicycle, and chances are you can still ride it unless there's something terribly wrong with your sense of balance. And as you get older, unfortunately, because of all the toxins in our environment, a lot of people lose their sense of balance. And so what they could do is constantly work on their sense of balance and improve their brain functioning. The reason the balance is so important is because 85% of the neural pathways travel through the cerebellum. So even as adults, we can improve our cognitive abilities by working on balance. All right, so repeated exposure is an important piece for neural development. You cannot achieve neural development without repeated exposure, except for the normal development that brains go through genetically. All right. Another good piece of the puzzle is to have and create a relaxed environment for neural development. If you create too much tension, chances are the brain is not going to develop if you have too much stress in the environment, the brain is inhibited in growing well. But with a relaxed environment, the dendrites tend to develop a whole lot better. So try as best you can to create a relaxed atmosphere. And that is hard to do sometimes with children with reading disorders because they are very frustrated easily with their problem. So let's take the pressure off. And one way I do that is I tell them, you know, let's not worry about grades. You've always been worried about grades. We've always been focusing on grades. Let's not do that. Let's just focus on doing our work, turning our work in, not worrying if we make all F's or all A's or whatever. Just worry about getting the assignment done and turning it in. If you do that, you create a more relaxed atmosphere, and the child's relieved of the pressure of making good grades, and they're more likely to benefit from neural development. Another related concept is having a good attitude. A lot of times children do not have a good attitude in doing neural development. Sometimes you have to bribe them a little bit, give them some incentive, give them some rewards for doing neurodevelopmental exercises. However, once they see the benefit, once they see themselves gaining in ability, then they usually have a good attitude. We don't have to worry about the bribing them to do their exercises. They will become self-motivated and keep doing the exercises because they are seeing the benefit from it. Sometimes it takes a little while before they see the benefit of their exercises. Good nutrition and health and good sleep all are important for brain functioning. So do some research. Find out what nutritional products are conducive to neural development, what vitamins the brain needs to grow efficiently. Be careful with vitamins, because some vitamins are actually bad for you. For example, an inexpensive vitamin B12, B12 that's combined with cyanide. It's the most common B12 out there, unfortunately. If it starts with a C and has a Y in it on the B12 list, it's cyanide. Don't buy it. Instead, buy the one that starts with an M. Definitely stay away from the cyanide. And the reason you want to do that is because it makes the body have to detox that cyanide as trying to get benefit from the B12. So buy quality vitamins. Now I know a lot of people like gummy Flintstones, and they're good. They can produce results, but they also have the red food dyes and the sugars and all that kind of stuff. So why give your child those poisons, those toxins, and just find a vitamin that doesn't have those things in them? So Flintstones is probably better than nothing, but there are better choices. Good foods are important. The omega fatty acids. Walnuts is a great source of omega fatty acids. You don't have to worry about the mercury found in fish to get omega-3 fatty acids. So anytime you use fish oil, make sure that it has been checked, that there's no mercury in the fish oil. There's no sense in trying to improve the brain and give them mercury at the same time. And a lot of companies that make fish oil, that's exactly what they're doing, is giving you mercury along with the omega-3 fatty acids that's in the fish oil. So be careful when you buy nutritional products. You know, I'm going to offend a lot of people, but, you know, too many kids eat too much sugar. Sugar is not good for you. It's a toxic. It's a drug. You don't think of that as a drug, but if you think about it, you process cocaine, you process sugar. And it's not good for the body. People get high on sugar. You can have a sugar rush. It's a drug. So don't use it. So kids will, but then kids say, well, what about the soda pop? That's all I drink. Well, the only reason you drink it is because your parents buy it for you. So buy something else. And some kids, there's like they say, the third of the population do not do good with any kind of sugar, even fruits sugar. So those children who unfortunately are a third of the population out there would be better off not having any kind of sugar. Everybody's different, and some people can't make the leaps all at once. They have to go, you know, baby steps. But anything you can do to reduce the sugars, you'll reduce, improve the health, and improve neural development. Brain does well without so much sugar. Now, of course, the brain needs sugar to survive. You need sucrose in your system, but there's other places to get it besides table sugar or even fruit for those that are very sensitive about sugars. But fortunately, most kids aren't so sensitive to sugars, but there are some children that become very hyperactive if they have sugar, so keep those kids away from sugar if you can. It just takes time if you have things without sugar, some drinks, and don't go with the artificial flavors. Those are poisons. The artificial, like aspartame, shown to cause bipolar symptoms in some individuals. They process in the body at the same as formaldehyde. So avoid the artificial sugars. And research has shown that the artificial sweeteners put on as much weight gains as the normal sugars. So they're not a very good alternative. I think there's an herb from Brazil that's supposed to be a good sweetener that doesn't create havoc on the body. But it does have a little aftertaste that some people don't like. So some of you will have to take baby steps in getting good nutrition. And definitely avoid the trans fats. Trans fats are terrible for the brain. They are not good for brain development, neural development. So stick with the omega-3 fatty acids and get rid of the trans fats. Trans fats is margarine, Little Debbie's, anything with this hydrogenated is trans fat, and it's not good for your brain. Well, I hope I didn't offend too many of you, and I hope I've explained a little bit what is neurodevelopment and some of the uses for it. I hope you can reach me and contact me and ask me questions on how you would like to apply neurodevelopment in your life or helping somebody. My web page is at yourfamilyclinic.com. That's www.yourfamilyclinic.com. My email is yourfam@bellsouth.net. That's yourfam@bellsouth.net. Hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening.